This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsboro, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Gateway Fellowship Online. What a great day. It's sunny out right now. I think it's supposed to rain in a little bit, but it's sunny out right now, so we will enjoy that and be thankful. Hey, we're glad you're with us this morning. And wherever you are, we just want to invite you to engage with the worship, with the message, with communion. We're going to celebrate communion today, so if you want to gather some elements while you're getting ready for church today, you can have those ready. Mario will share that at the end of his message, and make sure you grab that. We are just a few of us in here today, complying with the stay home and stay safe, and so just a few of us to make sure that we have an opportunity to connect with you this morning. And doesn't matter if you're in this room, we would prefer that you're in this room with us, but even if you're not, God's presence is not bound by geography, and so he is with you. He's with you wherever you're at, in your trailer, in your home, whatever. He is here this morning. He is omnipresent, the Bible says. He is everywhere, and so we're going to worship him this morning. This first song is a proclamation of worship. Oh, worship the King. It's an old song, but kind of redone in a new way. So will you join us this morning as we sing, Oh, worship the King. Here we go.
You are and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the ancient of days, pavilion in splendor and girded with praise.
You know, this next song is appropriate for the day we live in. You know, it seems there's so much question, there's so much uncertainty surrounding everything that we're going through right now. But this song that says, come hell or high water, He's still on the throne. We're going to worship Him. We're going to trust Him. As difficult as it is sometimes, we got to keep our eyes focused on Him. And if you've been struggling, I've had my moments. I think everybody can say they've had their moments. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. There's an old song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. This song says He's still on the throne, and we will trust Him no matter what. Let's sing this song together.
Don't compare.
that just becomes so difficult as we spend time like this. It's recognizing that in the midst of all that's going on in the world, all that might be going on in our hearts, it's that decision, that choice to say, God, I continue to place my trust, continue to place my hope in you. And so we come together this morning, wherever you might find yourself, seated, standing, leaning, we're just going to take an opportunity to offer ourselves to the Lord. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this song is so appropriate, Lord, that regardless of what comes our way as a people of God, Lord, we choose to come before you and offer ourselves to you and say, Lord, you see our circumstances. You know what's going on with us. Father, we pray that you would meet us wherever it is we might find ourselves. Lord, I think about my spiritual family, my spiritual friends, all over here, or across the U.S. and around the world. And this situation is impacting us in ways that we have never experienced. God, I pray that you would meet each person right where they're at. Provide what's needed in every circumstance. Be the God in every circumstance, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, in every circumstance. God, we're asking for you to meet with us. We're asking for you to change us. We're asking for you to save us, to help us. And so, Lord, we offer ourselves to you once again, that regardless of what comes, come hell or high water, we continue to proclaim that you are God, that you are good, and that you will carry us through. We love you, and we give you thanks. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hi, everybody. I'm Josiah Perrin from Gateway. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you're joining us this morning. Me and Ellie are watching the service together, and we're excited. So, we have a few quick things. First thing I want to give you guys today is a phone number. Not my phone number, but the phone number for text to give. 360-209-8040. What's the first thing it does, Ellie?
Give.
That's right. If you text the word give to that number, we can automatically start setting you up and getting you fixed in with the text in church giving app. And so if you want to give, we would really appreciate that. It's doing a ton for our community. And not only that, it's doing a ton for the staff here at Gateway. So thank you, thank you, thank you. The second thing is
groups.
Yeah, groups. If you want to be part of a group, if you want to get plugged in and get connected here at Gateway, text the word groups to that same number, and we can start getting you plugged into a group. We can find a spot for you, and that'll kind of begin that process of getting you plugged in here. The third thing is
pickles.
Yeah, pictures. We want pictures of you because we're doing an Armed Forces Day parade here at Gateway, and it's going to be awesome. We know we can't meet in an actual parade settings, so we're doing it digitally, and we want photos of you because we have a bunch of amazing families here at Gateway that are serving in the armed forces. If that's you, we want you to send a photo to that same number so that we can put you into our parade. Finally, moms, you have been spending a lot of time with these lately, and we realize that for Mother's Day, we want to do something special for you. From 10 a.m. till noon on May 9th, we're going to have a Mother's Great Escape here at Gateway Fellowship. You can come in, you can do a drive-through. We're gonna have donuts and scones and some treats for you. Leave the kids at home if you can. Leave the husband at home for sure. And get in here. And afterwards, if you happen to hang out in the parking lot in your cars 6 feet away from each other, we can't do anything about it. And so if that's you, we want you here, and it's gonna be awesome. We wanna celebrate you. Thank you so much for having us today, guys. Thank you for giving up your morning to be here. And we're so thankful. We're gonna kick it back to the service. Say bye.
Bye.
Well, yes, definitely don't send in your pickles. That won't help us too much, but pictures would be good. Well, it's good to be joining you this morning, wherever you might find yourself, whether you're kind of cuddled up in your bed, maybe you're sitting around the couch. I know that my family is just sitting around the couch watching this. Wherever you might find yourself, we're just going to say we're so glad that you're joining us this morning. Glad to meet you. My name is Mario, and I'm one of the teaching pastors here, and just really appreciate that you would log in, that you would tune in on what's happening. So thanks so much for that. So I think we probably all had this moment, right? I mean, we all have. It's that moment, I would call it a moment of truth, actually. And it's that moment where you might find yourself kind of coming around the corner, And as you come around the corner, there you are. And for some, you might have a shopping cart in hand. For others, it might be a little hand basket. And for those of us, in the worst case scenario is that you have just the one item. And with that one item, you turn the corner, and there is spread out in front of you the decision of all decisions: which check stand will you choose? Now, logic would say, given all the different options, that you would just choose the one that's the shortest. That would seem to make the most sense. And being that I can be a logical guy, that's the choice that I made as I turned the corner. I saw the one that seemed to be the shortest. And as I did, there were others who were coming down the other way, recognizing, yeah, they wanted that one as well. But I've been reading, I've been learning, put the shoulders back and lean in. And I didn't want to be a jerk about it, but I just wanted to make it clear, I'm just asserting my dominance, that I'm going to be the one to get into line before that other person did. And so I made my way assertively into this line, and I felt really good about it. It was like I found gold. I was going to be next in line, and it was awesome. And then it was as if the clouds parted, and the moment of truth started to come. I started to realize, like, why was it that nobody else was in this line right in front of me? And the reason was this. It just so happened that the person I got in front of, she happened to be having a conversation with the cashier checkout lady about the validity of a coupon that was on aisle 9. And so the person had to go back, of course, and go find the item, make sure that the item was truly on sale, and bring it all forward. And after 6 lovely minutes of waiting in line, it was finally my turn to be able to check out with my one item. You've been there before, right? I mean, of course we have. And so you might be asking Mario, like, why didn't you just get out of line and get into another line? Well, the answer should be obvious. I mean, I've had my shoulders back. I leaned in. I fought for that place in line. And so if you think I'm going to get out of it, that's not going to happen. And of course, there's always kind of this running dialogue, right? And to be like, well, it'll just be one more minute. I mean, just one more minute. I just happened to do that 6 times. And then eventually, it was my turn to be able to check out. That's one of the reasons why. And finally, I think probably the most honest reason is that it was the perfect opportunity to just kind of sit there and fume inside of my head about how life is simply not fair. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's probably these moments where it's actually good that we have a mask so people can't see what's going on inside of our hearts, inside of our minds in that moment. But that's kind of the sense that was going on. It's like, how come everybody else's line was going so much faster? We've been there before, right? Whether it's like whether you're driving, whether it's at the food mart or someplace, we found ourselves looking around going like, how come it turned out this way for me? And, you know, maybe it wasn't that, but you just start to look around at other people and other situations. It's like, how come he's the one that gets the girl? How come she's the one that gets the guy? How come they're the ones that get the house? Or they get this, or they get that? You fill in the blank with whatever it is. Why is it that everybody else gets something and we're not the ones to be able to get it? It seems as if life is not fair and that we're not able to measure up or get to what everybody else has. And then you think about it in light of COVID, right? I mean, we have this whole entire thing of this pandemic going on, and all sorts of questions start to come up, don't they? I mean, why is it that they get to make the decisions on what we get to do and what we don't get to do? Why is it that that person still gets to keep a job and I don't? How come their place remains open, their business does, and mine doesn't? How come this person continues to work and I don't? Or on the other side of it, how come this person no longer has to work and still gets paid, and I still have to go to work? You see, the question's all over the place. And as we look at other people's circumstances, as we look at other people's situations, we keep looking around and going, like, life doesn't seem so fair. Well, the reason I bring all this up is because we're in this series. It's a series called The Prayers of Life. And in this series, The Prayers of Life, what we've been looking at is we've been going through the book of Psalms together. And we've been taking a look at different places, at different aspects of the Psalms, and seeing how it is that it compares to life. And we're asking, how do we respond differently in light of the circumstances that we find ourselves in? You see, those things can make such a big difference depending on how we respond. And if you're in this spot and you're new to Gateway or you're just tuning in for the first time, I want to say welcome and so glad that you're able to join in on this. We're in this series. We'll be in it for the next few weeks. And I just want to invite you along on the journey that we're finding ourselves in. And so as we continue to unpack the Psalms, I want to help you consider this. If we don't understand how we respond to moments that are difficult, what ends up happening is that we find ourselves in this place of deep-rooted bitterness. And that bitterness is so interesting, isn't it? Because somehow we think that if we just manage the bitterness, if we just kind of keep the bitterness into ourselves, that somehow we're going to be okay. But that's just not the way that life works. What ends up happening with that bitterness, as much as we try to keep it into ourselves, what ends up happening is that it has a way of coming out. It ends up impacting not only ourselves, but the people all around of us. And that's just simply not good. And so we've got to find a different way to respond in the midst of all that's going on. And the psalmist, the prayers of life, will help us understand how to do that. Because you see, that's exactly where Asaph found himself. Asaph. You ever heard that name before? Who is this guy named Asaph? Well, I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to grab one. Psalms chapter 73 is where we're going to find ourselves today. And so if you don't have a Bible, feel free to go up and get one. Feel free to go grab one. That'll be wonderful. You can join us. And by the way, we're going to be receiving communion at the end of this. And so I want to encourage you, this is also a great time if you're up grabbing your Bible. You can go ahead and grab some communion elements as well, and we'll take some time to do that together. And so who is this guy Asaph, as you're turning to your Bibles, as you're flipping through your phones, trying to figure out who is this guy, where is this in the Bible? Asaph was a worship leader, kind of like Jason as he's leading the team in worship. That was like what Asaph was like. He was the main worship leader for King David. So there was this moment where the Ark of the Covenant of God had made its way back to Jerusalem, and there was this huge celebration. Asaph was on hand for that, and he was the one that was leading worship for that. After King David had his son Solomon, Solomon continued to grow up, and he ended up building a temple. Asaph was there when the temple was complete, and everybody came together. They celebrated. Asaph was there, and Asaph was the one who led the people in worship. He was a musician. He was the chief of the musicians. Asaph had seen the heights of Israel. He'd seen the depths of Israel. He'd seen the good moments, and he'd seen the bad moments. That's who Asaph was. And Asaph found himself in a place of bitterness. And he takes time to reflect on this. And as he does, we get a chance to see what's going on in his heart and in his mind. And so I want to encourage you, would you just take a look in the scriptures together? Let's take a look at Psalm 73 and see what it is that he has to say. It starts off this way, and he says this: "Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone." He continues on as he says this to help us understand why it was that this was taking place. He says, "For I envied the proud when I saw the prosper despite their wickedness." He said, I envied all that was going on for them. And if you skip down to verse 21, you'll see him kind of have some of the same language. He says this: "And then I realized that my heart was what?" It's sitting there. "That it was bitter, and I was all torn up inside." He says, I envied. As I looked around, I saw what was going on. As I looked around, my heart became bitter as I saw everything that was going on for all these people. You been there before? Likely you have. There's been at least a few memes, a few cartoons that I've seen come up on Facebook and other places just describing the circumstances that are going on right now. Quite often it'll have something of a picture of a mom being frustrated or just a sense of us being having this closeness while we're together. And as we're experiencing all of this closeness, have you just noticed all sorts of baggage just starts to kind of come out? It's like the stuff that we've been able to kind of hold off at bay, this closeness is bringing it all out right now. And that's exactly where Asaph found himself, in the midst of his bitterness. And he goes on to describe what this bitterness looks like. I just want to read some of this to you. If you just look in verse 3 in your Bible, just read along with me. It says this: "For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. Verse 10, it continues. It says, and so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. What does God know, they ask? Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people, enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Have you experienced that before? Asaph is like, look, everybody else's lane seems to be moving, but mine is stuck. Everybody else seems to be getting what they want, but here I am, and it's not working out for me. In the midst of it all, he starts to ponder, is this whole godly life even worth living? Like, is it worth doing? He says it in this way. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. Have you experienced that before? Maybe that's where you're at right now. Maybe for you, you tried this Christianity thing out for a little while and it wasn't working out for you. So you went off and you tried other things, and for some reason you happened to be dialing in this morning. But that's been your experience of Christianity. It seems like you tried to do the godly thing, you tried to do the right thing, but it doesn't seem like life has been working out for you. But you look around and you see that everything else is working out for everybody else. So you start to wonder, is it worth it? And maybe for you, your conclusion for a little while was that, no, it's not. It's not. And so you traveled off, and yet you come back here this morning. And if that's you, I want to say, welcome to you. You're in the right place. For some of us, we're in this place, and we're asking those honest questions as things continue to seem like they're unfolding in a way that's not good around us. We're asking, is it worth it? I mean, here I am doing all the right stuff. Is it worth it? So I want to ask you in these moments, what do you do? Asaph, he pauses and he ponders what this kind of thinking leads to. Like, if he continues to think along these lines, what impact will it have? In verse 15, if you're following along in your Bible, you can just keep following. It says this. It says, if I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. Just think about that for a moment. If you have a pen or something, if you have your highlighter, just highlight the word spoken. I did it here because I want to come back to that in a moment. He says, if I would have spoken this way, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is. And I'd love to unpack this idea of him saying, like, if I would have spoken this, what the impact of it. But can I just simply say this? Parents, friends, take note of this. Your having intense feelings doesn't give you permission to say whatever it is that you want to say whenever it is you want to say it. Do you hear that? Asaph was in a spot where he was experiencing intense feelings, but he also recognized this. If I would have spoken those words, the impact that it would have had on the people around me, he says, it would have made me a traitor to them. I would be a traitor to the people in my life if I would just spew out any and everything else that's coming into my heart, my mind in that moment. So I'll say it again. Your having intense feelings doesn't give you permission to say whatever you want whenever you want. It doesn't. Your words hold power. Your words hold the ability to bring people to life or to death. And so you need to be mindful with your words, even with intense emotions. So what do we do with that then, right? I mean, so are we just supposed to act like the intense emotions aren't there? Are we supposed to act like these feelings aren't there? No, of course not. Asaph's emotions are real. What he was experiencing was so real. But what he did with those is profound. And what he did with those is what I want us to take notice of this morning. In the midst of his frustration, in the midst of his bitterness, this is what the scriptures say. He says, then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. If you've got your Bible, I just want you to circle, highlight the word sanctuary, because that is a key word. It's this right here that makes me, if you ask me, Mario, what is your favorite psalm in all 150 of them, what is it? Which one is it? It's Psalm 73. And if you were to ask me, what's your favorite verse? This is one of them. I went into your sanctuary and everything changed. I wonder if you've ever had moments like this. Moments where you've come into the sanctuary of God, where you find yourself in a spot where you come into this place, you come into the building, and all of a sudden, your life has changed. Have you come to a church service, whether it's here at Gateway or someplace else, and when you enter into that church building, you come into the presence of God, He meets you and He changes you. Have you had that before? I know I have. I mean, I know that just as I'm sitting here today, I can point to places where God changed my life. I can point to right over there and I can tell you that's where I rededicated my heart to God. Right back there. It was in that spot where I said, God, I give my life to you. I choose you. Up in front here at these altars, I can tell you those are places where I gave some of my vices to God. And that's another spot where I gave another vice to God. And this is another spot where I gave another vice to God. There's moments in which I came and said, God, my marriage is having difficulty. I need prayer. And God met me right here in this place. Have you had that before? Of course you have. Many of us have. When we come into these places like this, when we meet in places like this and gather together, God meets us in such powerful ways. It's a special place. Sanctuaries are what house the manifest, which simply means the clear and obvious presence of God. Sanctuaries are what house the obvious presence of God. The sanctuary is where people go to meet with God and to be changed. But here's the rub. If change can only happen when you come into a church building, that's a problem, right? Because if that's the case, you ain't meeting with God during the shutdown then. But here's the deal. What I want to suggest to you this morning is this, is that when we talk about the sanctuary, the true sanctuary of God, it is so much bigger than a place. That as much as I enjoy this place, as much as I love this place, this true sanctuary of God is not confined to this building that I'm sitting in. As much as I enjoy it, the true sanctuary of God isn't confined to this place. The true sanctuary of God isn't even something that was built by human hands. No, the author in Hebrews has such a broader vision to help us understand what Christ won for us on the cross. Because of what Christ did, this idea, this concept of sanctuary has been completely been changed. It's so much bigger. This is what he has to say. It says, for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered into heaven itself. Now to appear for us in God's presence. You see, the true sanctuary of God is not any building that you or I could ever create. The true sanctuary of God, it's in heaven. It's bigger, so much larger than that. And what it means is that his sanctuary is accessible to us wherever we might find ourselves. So what does this mean to us? It means to us this, that if you're a believer, it means that right here, right now, right there, wherever it is that you're sitting, wherever it is that you're standing, wherever it is that you are laying, you can enter into the sanctuary, into the presence of God, right where you're at, and have your perspective change just like Asaph did. The sanctuary of God is not bound to a place any longer. Christ won that for us on the cross. And we have the opportunity to respond by coming into his presence. And so how do we enter into that sanctuary? How is it that we gain access to this newfound sanctuary that's provided to us? And what I want to suggest is that we look no further than the words of Jesus himself when he was speaking his most famous sermon to the people that were around him. He helped us understand how it is we enter into that new sanctuary. He said this to the people that were gathered. He said, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues or in the churches where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But he continues on and says this, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father that's in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. If you want to know what it means to enter into the sanctuary of God, it simply means this, to pray, to find a place, shut the door, and spend some time with God. That's what it means. That's how it is we enter into the sanctuary. And that's exactly what Asaph did. Asaph didn't have the opportunity because of what Christ did on the cross. Asaph instead had to do something different. He had to enter into a physical sanctuary, but we have the ability right there where you are to enter into the sanctuary of God by prayer. And so what we see taking place is that Asaph took the opportunity to do it. And as he did, what I love so much is that in this moment, when Asaph said, I entered into the sanctuary of God, his perspective changed. And what we need to notice is that God didn't answer Asaph's question. He didn't answer Asaph's question. God, how come everything is going this way for this person? How come it's going this way for this person? The wicked seem to be prospering and I'm not. God didn't answer that question. Instead, God answered the question that Asaph really needed the answer to. He helped them know the destiny of the wicked. That's what Asaph needed. And as Asaph's eyes started to open up, as he was able to see the larger picture of all that was going on, then it started to be revealed to him, and he said, aha, now I get it. Now I see what's going on. And what we see in verse 27, in Psalm 73, what we see is him saying this. He says, if you skip down in your scripture, what you see, it says, those who desert him, speaking of God, will perish. For you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near the Lord. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things that you do. Have you been in a spot before where God just grabs your heart and he changes the way that you see everything, the way that you see the world? Have you had a moment in which God has changed you from the inside out? Let me ask you, what did you do with that? Did you keep it in? No, of course not. When God changes you from the inside out, something happens radically within you where you can't keep it inside any longer, and you have to be let it be known. And that's exactly the experience of what Asaph is having in this moment. He's struggling. He's trying to figure out, God, what's going on in this world? He enters into the sanctuary of God, and it changes everything. It changes his perspective. And as it does, all of a sudden, he sees everything differently, and he starts to respond, and he says, I can't keep it in. I've got to let this world know what's going on. You see, when we're changed, we have to tell somebody about it. Don't you love it when you get God's perspective on things? You see, so throughout this series, we've been taking an opportunity to ask the question, how does this apply to our life? What do we do with the psalm that we've encountered? Three areas. The first one is this. What do we learn about life? Well, one of the things we have to learn about life is this. Life is not fair. I wish it were. I wish I could tell you differently. My boys, even as they're watching this, I have to let them know life is not fair. I wish it could be, but it's not. And we also have to recognize that following Jesus, it doesn't mean that life will be easy. See, that's one of the difficulties, and I think that's one of the things that we can run into, and that's where Asaph found himself. There's this equation that if we follow God, then the result would be that life would be easy, that life would be easy for us, and those who don't follow God, it would be hard for them. But that's what we learn about life, is it doesn't work out that way. That following God doesn't always mean that life will be easy. So we learn that about life. What do we learn about God? Well, what we learn is this, is that he is just. That just because life isn't always fair, we recognize that God is still just, even when it doesn't feel like it, and even when it doesn't seem like it. God is always just. What else do we learn about God? We learn that he will always give us what we need. And sometimes he'll give us what we want. Sometimes that's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? God always gives us what we need, and that's good news. And sometimes he doesn't give us what we want, because the things that we want might actually destroy us. And as a good father, he withholds the things that would destroy us and gives us the things that we need. And we see that taking place with Asaph. Asaph, you don't need to know why it is that all these things are going on. What you need to know is their destiny. And for you and I this morning, more than having our wants, we need to come to God and surrender our wants and say, God, speak to us. Give us what it is that we need. Which comes to the very last thing. What do we learn about living? We learn that we need to enter the sanctuary to meet with God, to see the truth of our situation. We've got to enter that sanctuary, whatever it is you might find yourself, whatever circumstances you might find yourself in, we've got to find yourself where you're saying, God, I choose to come into your sanctuary. And as you do, our prayer and our hope is that there will be change from the inside out. You know, so in the coming weeks, there will be continue to be news, won't there? There will be more that continues to unfold as a result of what's going on. It's just the way that things go. And as the governor gets up on television and he shares what's happening, as he shares what's going to take place next, I want to encourage you, I want to invite you, would you have a different response? There will be a moment in which you get frustrated. There will be a moment because you wish it would turn out this way. You wish it was a certain answer. You wish that he would say this or not say that. You wish he would give these permissions or he won't give these other permissions. But after that moment takes place, I'm asking, would you respond differently? Would you do the things that Jesus asked you to do? Even after your disagreements, would you go into the sanctuary of your heart? Would you shut the door, and would you gain God's perspective on the situation? I mean, after all, who knows? What if God is actually in the midst of what's going on right here and right now? In the moments where it doesn't even feel like it, I know it may not feel like it, but what if God has something in store for you in the midst of it all? You see, what it requires of us is the willingness to be able to enter into the sanctuary of God. You see, that's why Christ died on the cross. That's why he won this for us. He died so that you, so that I could come to the Father, so that we can meet him right where we're at. And so I want to encourage you this morning that you would just grab these elements, the communion elements. And could I actually, Stephanie, can you help me grab one of those communion elements? I forgot to grab them. I asked you to grab them, but I didn't grab them. They're on the front row in that box there. Thank you. As we grab whatever it is, you might have water with you, you might have the traditional grape juice or whatever it is, you might have a Ritz cracker or whatever it is. I just want to encourage you, I just want to invite you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I have mine here as well. These are the official onesies, as we call them. Christ went to the cross so that you and so that I did not have to always come to a place and bring your bulls and bring your rams and bring your lambs and sacrifice them on an altar. The scripture speaks to him being the Lamb of God, the one that was slain. He entered into the sanctuary. He sacrificed himself. Once and for all. And that's why they say, behold the Lamb of God, the one who was slain And as a result, we can now enter into the sanctuary of God. No mediator, no one between us. We can come into God's presence. And we can experience the healing. We can experience a perspective. We can experience all that we need. And so this morning, as you take your bread, we remember what Jesus said. And as he was with his disciples around a table, he knew he was going to the cross to win for us this, to win for us life. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." Let's do that together. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, had strayed away. We had left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. This is the cup, a new way of being. No longer sacrificing bulls and rams, but his blood poured for us so that we can meet with God face to face. Let's drink together. And let's pray. Jesus, we give you thanks this morning that you paid it all, that you won it all for us on the cross. That in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of a world that seems like it's in so much upheaval, Jesus, you entered into human history. In the midst of the chaos, you came and you died on the cross and you set a new way for us to meet with our Father. You entered into the sanctuary on our behalf and you invite us to come in. And Lord, we remember you as we eat and as we drink this morning, giving you thanks that you died on the cross for our sins. You died on the cross so that we could enter into our Father's presence and that we could be changed from the inside out. We give you thanks for that. Father, I pray for my friends here this morning that are struggling as we look at all the circumstances around us. Help us to enter into your sanctuary this morning and gain a new perspective. I pray for my friends this morning who have lived life in such a way that we have not been entered to your sanctuary. We rant, we compare, we see everything else that's going on. We spew out words of venom on Facebook and in other places in our frustration. And we come in confession and say, "God, forgive us." We choose to enter into your sanctuary this morning. Change us from the inside out. Lord, some of us are in places where we are in desperate need. God, I pray that as we enter into your sanctuary this week, today, throughout this coming month, would you change our perspective? Meet us as we lean into you. Would you meet us? Would you provide for us? Would you be our God and our healer? Some, Lord, for the very first time, we're coming to you. We're entering to your sanctuary for the first time. Come in and change our hearts. Be our God. Be life for us. As we offer ourselves to you, God, would you have your way within us? Give us a new perspective. Change the way that we see this world and change the way that we live in it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Death surrendered to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ. The earth would shake beneath the weight of darkened skies. Our strength.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I love that song. God's power continues to be at work in our hearts and our lives. So I just want to encourage you this week, let's be people who enter into the sanctuary of God, see what he has in store for us, and let's be changed and be the people of God wherever we might find ourselves. I want to encourage you to continue to make opportunities to connect on Facebook, connect in different groups, find a way to stay connected during this time. We want to be a help in any way we can. Blessings on you. May the grace and peace of God be on you this week. Blessings.
This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsville, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.